Thank you for coming. Please be seated. Yeah, take a seat, please. Please take a seat. Need to start. Please take a seat. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, here we go.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
You in the back, sit down. Sit down.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, where are you going? Come back. Hey.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours.
Uh-huh.
And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Good to be with you and all that stuff. Well, here we are. You, me, and everybody else. It's a quiet little study group is what we have here. My guest later on in the show today will be a security expert. Make you feel secure. Mobile security. We all have desktops and laptops and flop tops and schmop tops and things and tablets and flablets and schmablets. And we all have mobile phones. Most of us have smartphones, phones that are a lot smarter than we are. We have to ask the phones questions. Technology, man. Technology is making us sound so stupid. When we needed an answer to something, we used to ask somebody else or go to the library and open up a book and look it up. Took a long time, granted, so we were all basically just stupid. But now to get the answers to things, I have to go to my smart device because it's smarter than I am. If I want to figure out the mileage on a long trip, I can't figure it out in my head anymore. Oh, sure, I could, but why don't I have to? I go to my smart whatever, and it tells me. I have the Alexa thing in my house, the Amazon Alexa. So I actually ask a machine all these questions all day, and the machine responds to me. It's getting out of hand. Last night I had sex with Alexa, and turns out she really is a lot smarter than I am and a lot better. And it's embarrassing, and I'm sorry I even said that, but hey, another voice in the house, what the hell? I'm saying. So anyway, so security expert is going to join us today about mobile phone security. I always assumed that my mobile carrier put in all the security that I would possibly need through their end of it. But now I find out, as I usually get disappointed by the information that I receive, now I find out it behooves me. I'm the behoover, because I guess I wasn't as smart as my phone. I have to provide security for my phone on top of what I apparently already have. So I'm very confused. I think people are just trying to sell me things that I don't need, to be honest with you. Ron, you always need it. I got so pissed yesterday. I get so pissed every day, I just don't show it. That's why my body is tense 24/7, is because I'm eternally pissed, although I don't show it. If I showed it, then I wouldn't have knots in my shoulders, but I'd be a lousy individual to deal with. Which I probably am already, so what the hell's the difference, actually, come to think of it. I've done so many shows for about two decades now about insurance, how that is a legal scam. It's a legal scam. There's no question about it. My house insurance is over the roof. Get it? Do you get that joke? My car insurance is off the road. Oh, Ron, stop it. That's so amazing. Your analogies are so amazing. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, if you don't say it, I will. Especially home insurance, man. It's thousands of dollars. For me, it's thousands of dollars a year. And guess when my insurance bills come? I have to pay home insurance and I have to pay car insurance. You put them all together and I'm talking thousands and thousands of dollars and thousands of dollars. Well into the $3,000 range plus. Ron, what kind of insurance do you have? I've checked it out, man. It's the best I can get because I bundle. I got a bundle. I'm a bundle. This is a bundle. Yeah, I've checked all the policies and all that. This is the best I can do. It comes at the end of the year. That's the renewal for me. And it might be for you, too. I really don't know how that works. Comes at the end of the year for me, just as I'm paying off my holiday credit card bills. Oh, great. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I don't know what I'm paying insurance for. The only thing home insurance is good for is if your house totally burns down and it has to be rebuilt. Then you really need that money. Then it's a lot more money than I paid into it, and I got a good deal. Yes, my house burned down, but I got a good deal. I've lost everything in the fire, but I got financially a good deal. I got my money back, plus. It's not funny, but it's unfortunately true. God forbid you make any claim on your house whatsoever. Sure, they'll pay for the repairs through the insurance, but wait till your next insurance bill comes in the next year. You're paying for that now. Well, wait a minute. Okay, so there was a leak in my bathroom. I made a claim. It cost $3,000 to repair the leak and to redo the bathroom as if nothing happened. Okay, I've paid. That's like what I pay in 2 years. So, like, what's the big deal? Like, okay, no. The next year, my home insurance goes up. And it keeps going up year after year until I think literally I've paid back the insurance company for what they paid me because I had insurance. Now, wait a second. That makes no sense. That's why the insurance business equals rape. Not in a sexual sense, in a financial sense. And if you think about it and you break it down and you take a look at all the money you pay into car insurance, house insurance, when you make a claim, you're basically paying them back the money that you took out. Well, then why did I need insurance to begin with? Because legally you have to. You can't own a home. You can't have a mortgage without home insurance. You certainly can't have a mortgage without home insurance. That's illegal. You won't get the loan. You're not allowed to drive your car on the road, on the public road, unless you have auto insurance. You're not allowed to. You can't drive. You're not supposed to drive. It's a weird phenomenon, and it comes under the category of it pisses me off. And nobody has been able to explain to me how I'm not right about this. Everything I pay into insurance is just for their pocket. If I make a claim, my insurance goes up, and I pay for that. It's almost funny. I'm laughing. I'm not almost laughing. I'm actually laughing because of how absurd that is. Again, unless it's catastrophic, and then you got to go through the catastrophic thing, which no one wants to do. You think I want to total my car? No. Think I want my house to burn down? My God, no. But it's the only way that you're going to even the thing out. when I think about all the money I've spent through my life on home insurance and auto insurance, I could have been a multimillionaire if I didn't have it. But I have to have it, so that's not a possibility. I'm just saying, I'm bringing things up. I'm just bringing things up to the surface. You do what you want to do with it. Things are floating on top of the water. You watch it float. You do what you want with it. I just brought the thing up to the surface is all I did. It's my job. Here's something else I'm going to bring up to the surface today. And this also pisses me off. It comes under the same category. Here's the problem with this. It's the presidential election. Now, I don't particularly care for Donald Trump. I don't particularly care for his policies, but that's okay. I mean, everybody has a different view on things. I can't stand the man, Donald Trump, because I think that, well, let's not get into it. He's not a proper human being at all, in any sense of the word. He's a schoolyard bully, Come on, Ron, stop it. Just get off of it. Anyway, I don't care for him. But this has nothing to do with it. It is a fact, unless you're a Trump supporter, I suppose, but it is a fact that Russia definitely influenced our election last time around. Russia hacked into the email systems, got Hillary's emails, and systematically released them to WikiLeaks. And they were done on a very tight, regimented schedule in order to hit the demise campaign-wise of Hillary Clinton. It worked. When Donald Trump claims that he was elected president because he is Donald Trump and because people voted for him, that's somewhat true. He lost a popular vote, never brings that up, just talks about the electoral vote. So it was a neck-and-neck situation, even under the circumstances of Russia orchestrating these leaks through WikiLeaks. Russia also wanted Trump to be president because that was the best chance of democracy being torn apart, which is exactly Russia's agenda. Destroy democracy. And Trump actually in his campaign speeches was trying to do so. So, there you have that. Was the election won by Donald Trump because of Russia's intervention? Yes. Did the Donald Trump campaign for president collude with Russia? Yeah. How could they not? Why wouldn't they? They didn't even know that they weren't supposed to. They thought that's the one way you run a campaign. Anybody that can help, whether it be a person or a country, give me the stuff, man. We're going to win at any cost. Sure they did. So how can Donald Trump still be president? If it is known, without question, that Russia fiddled and diddled with our last election, why aren't we having a do-over? Why isn't there a do-over? I don't understand. How can this guy be president if another country meddled in the campaign and the influence thereof? Well, it doesn't make sense, does it? Did Hillary Clinton lose the election? Yes. Did Donald Trump win the election? No. Hillary lost it. Don didn't win it. Don won by default. Was it the fault of the Democratic Party in not putting a presidential candidate forward that could have won? Yeah. But that little tipping space, that tiny little margin of error, which actually occurred during that last election, that balance was tipped by Russia. And most of us know that and believe that. And if that's the case, why isn't this election null and void? Why not? Why wouldn't it be? That's what I can't understand. No one talks about that part of it. If someone cheated on a test in school and they found out that the results of your test were not because of you, because you cheated, because you meddled in the test, well, they throw the test out, wouldn't they? And they give you another test and make damn sure that this time it was you that was taking the test and no outside influences of cheating. There'd be a redo. But not in the case of something so important as who sits in the White House. That's not a redo. There's no do-over for that. Why not? Why not? Now, let's flip the coin. Does the United States meddle in other elections of other countries? You bet your biggest ass we do. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm bringing it up to the surface. That's all I'm saying. Now, we have a guest coming up later to talk about mobile security. We'll do that not too long from now. I'm going to bring one more thing up to the surface. This is a lot of stuff floating on the water today, ladies and gentlemen. It's just food for thought. Big, big food. Gigantic food for thought. This has to do with Facebook. I, over the past few weeks, have developed a great disdain for Facebook. For a couple of reasons. One is that Facebook is bigger than we are. And you got to be careful when there's a social machine, a social mechanism, such as Facebook, that is bigger than we are. As a matter of fact, the Russians, it has been definitely uncovered, used Facebook to run certain types of ads to ensure that Trump would win the election. This is the Russian government that sponsored these Facebook ads. Facebook acknowledges that that's where they came from. See, that's too big. Facebook also gathers together people from society who have great hatred. And every day on Facebook, on anybody's quote-unquote thread, you can read extreme expressions of hatred and anger like you've never read before and you probably wouldn't want to read. And expressions of love and compassion are sometimes, even those are null and void because there are hints of anger and frustration in those messages of love. Facebook is an evil tool. Facebook is dangerous. As much as it can gather together people that like each other, tenfold it gathers together people that despise other people, that harbor anger and frustration and lashing out behind words as opposed to face-to-face conversation. Where people are a bit more civilized when they're face-to-face. They can read passion in each other's eyes. They can understand the difference between sarcasm and straight talk. You can't do any of that when you're typing something out on a keyboard. And that's all Facebook is. It's an expression of oneself to the general populace of acquaintances, getting things off your hairy chest. It's psychologically, perhaps, therapeutic, but socially dangerous. And if you had a scale that weighed good and evil on Facebook, evil would win. I call that the dark side of the Facebook web. And I am getting tired of people expressing their anger and disdain on their own private little website. Is it nice on your birthday to get birthday wishes from hundreds of people? You might say yes, but the expressions are meaningless. Probably 80% of them are happy birthday. That's it. Because you're notified that someone's having a birthday, you say happy birthday, and that's a warm greeting. That means anything? It means nothing. It means nothing. And then we call them Facebook friends. They're not your friends. They're your users. Your phony comfort blankets. They satisfy your need to be loved, to be accepted, to be heard, to be important. You're validated. It's the breakdown of the human being, laying themselves down at the feet of smart devices that are bigger than you are, that control your habits, your disciplines, your likes, your dislikes. And if you think about it, you'll understand the danger of that. All ISIS has left are social media outlets such as Facebook in order to communicate with themselves and to develop recruiting and enemies. That is our greatest enemy is terrorism. And that is very frequently connected through social media, using social media in an evil gathering manner. So I bring this up to the surface. I am going to phase myself off of the Facebook world. It depresses me and involves me every time I go to my Facebook page, one of the four that I have. It depresses me. I don't really care what you think unless we're in face-to-face conversation. Other than that, I don't care. I am tired of making a response on Facebook and then having somebody else say, that's stupid. Thanks for nothing. All that kind of sarcastic, ill-meaning response when someone is simply expressing their opinion. Well, don't express your opinion. Don't get involved in the thread. Don't get involved in the web of cess. Social media has become a cesspool. And there's no way to get involved with it without getting your feet wet and dirty and scummy and full of crap. Other than that, how's your day?
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
Just Reggae joins us now. He is a mobile security expert and VP strategy at MobileArm. And we're talking about cell phone security. Many people got cell phones over the holidays as a gift, I think.
They sure did. My son was one of them, and I took the opportunity to set some ground rules for him on how to secure the data, the personal information on his phone from hackers.
Yeah. You know, a lot of us don't think of cell phones being hacked. That we, you know, our home computers, yes, our tablets, that kind of thing. We don't think of the phones being hacked because we figure that the providers are taking care of that for us.
Well, you know, the phones are pretty secure, but the thing that we've always got to remember is that these things have so much personal information on them. They got more personal information than our wallet.
Well, it's true.
A lot of people use them for banking. They might have your health information. They absolutely have all your photos on them. So the way that I've always thought about phone security is it's kind of like driving a car, right? You got to wear your seatbelt. You got to know your defensive driving habits, and that'll keep you safe. But it does take some action activity on your part. keep your data safe.
Okay. All right, so how do we do that? All right, so it is important. We understand that. That's step one. Now we got to figure out how to do this.
Exactly. We put together a set of tips that can help people keep their personal information safe.
All right.
I'm excited to share those with your listeners.
Please. I feel like I should pay you for tips, but I'll take them.
Well, the first one is avoid unwanted connections. Our phones love to connect through Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Problem, though, is that you don't know who runs those networks or what devices are on the other side of that connection. Oh. So turn Wi-Fi and Bluetooth off, except when you need it, and when you need it, don't share too much information. I'll share something that happened with me over the holidays. Right. I was renting a car.
Yeah.
You know, I was taking a little vacation with my son, renting a car. I wanted to use hands-free so I could talk while I was driving.
Mm-hmm.
I used Bluetooth to connect my phone to the car, and the first question the car asked me is, do you want to sync your contacts? And, of course, the answer is no. I don't want my personal contact in the car for the next person who rents the car from Hertz to get access.
Well, that's true. I never thought of that. Yes.
And so the thing to be careful about here is when you do make a connection, you may end up oversharing more information than you want. So I said, no, I don't want to share my contacts. Yes, I do want to use hands-free. So the moral of the story is use Wi-Fi and Bluetooth when you need it, but don't overshare your information.
Interesting. Okay. Let me ask you, before we go any further with the tips, I'm an older person. I'm, you know, older than 30. And I used to get telemarketing calls in my home all the time, and I still do because I still have a landline. But ever since the onslaught of the cell phone in the past 5 years, I'm getting, like, telemarketing calls every 10 minutes. And it's very, very bothersome because you tend to answer the phone all the time when you have a cell phone, figuring, you know, it's a call for me. How do you stop that? And a lot of those are hacking calls, aren't they?
There's a lot of hacking calls and a lot of hacking emails and text messages now as well. From my perspective, I don't answer the phone anymore unless it's someone that I know.
Hmm.
And I'm also very careful about the email and the text messages I get. And the message that I always give people is don't risk the click. When you get a text message or when you get an email with a link or a phone number in it, especially when you're on your phone, it's so easy just to click on that.
Yeah.
And those are almost always hacking calls or hacking emails.
Wow. Well, you know, if you run a business on the side or something and you use your cell phone for business calls, you don't know if it's a customer or if it's a hacker.
Yeah, absolutely. And in those cases, you may have no choice but to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And then the safety tip is don't share information. Feel free to get information from them, but don't give them information back. Because all the scammers, all the hackers and scammers, they really are interested in one thing. They want your credentials. They want your usernames and your passwords.
Uh-huh.
So the moment that someone starts asking you for that, you know they're on the wrong side of the fence.
Okay. And even emails that you get on your cell phone and such, they are. I had a situation for CVS, one of the largest companies in the country. There was an email from that. It had the CVS logo and all that, but it wanted my information to make sure that everything was up to date. And I thought, they don't need to do that. That's weird. So I called CVS. They said, no, we're not requesting that. That is a known a hacking thing. They're using our logo. And I'm going, oh my God, has it gone that far?
Yeah, yeah. What you're pinpointing is what's happening now almost every single day to almost all of us. The other common one is your bank contacting you and saying there's some kind of fraud or there's some issue with your account, please contact us. And they'll always have a link or a phone number. And what I recommend to people is don't use that. You know, pull out your ATM card, call the number on the back of that, just like you actually called the official CVS number. And then your institution will be able to tell you if there's really an issue that you have to act on or no, it's a scam.
God. And, you know, unless you're smart, it's easy to be taken. And even when you're smart, it's still easy. Okay, so how do we go about solving some of these problems? So we know that there are tips and we can get some information from you on where to visit those tips online. But what do we do to stop all this?
There's a couple of key security paths that you can take to prevent personal information from being stolen. One of them we talked about, which is avoid unwanted connections. Another one is don't plug in your phone into any USB port.
Right.
We get so anxious when our phone runs out of battery. Wait until you get to a wall charger. Plug in there or carry a battery pack with you.
Uh-huh.
Don't plug into one of those USB kiosks you might see at the shopping mall.
Okay. All right. And there are companies that do offer protection as well?
There are. And we have security tips for your listeners. They can go to mobileiron.com/security tips and learn a lot more about how to protect their personal information.
Perfect. Well, this has been a good phone call, and we appreciate and it is really you, right? Okay.
It is really me.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much for your time today, and I appreciate it. Have a great new year.
Great. Thank you very much. You too.
Bye-bye. Lovely. Adorable. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, out of time for today. Be back again tomorrow with another show. Until then, I wish you peace.